How are you guys doing this morning? Glad y'all are here. Glad that you're participating in Bravehearts and what's going on here. Man, just a couple of things. Last time I was up, I had a coffee cup and I spoke, and it apparently was distracting for some guys because I was just up here speaking and whatnot and worried that I was going to slosh it everywhere. So I have a lid this time, and I can slosh all I want. So hopefully that won't distract you this morning. And we'll have a good time together. Man, as we were singing that song, the Lord really took me back to a time in my life when we sang that hymn, "All to Jesus I Surrender," and took me back all the way back to when I was a kid and made that declaration of faith in my life. And what a powerful, powerful statement and a powerful song, and the way that music ties us not just to what's going on in our lives today, because he speaks to us about everything that we need. He's got that, but also ties us back to our history with him and our lives and moments that we encountered him in the past. And that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. We've been in this series that's looking at ways that we build our faith. And I'm so grateful to a church over in Georgia, North Point, that did some research years ago within their church. And they were asking the question to folks, you know, what are the things that really have helped you build your faith? And they would just let people talk, and they recorded a lot of those answers. And so they came up with these five different things that we're going to be looking at, that we've started looking at over time. And I'm grateful that they did the hard work and the research into that and kind of organized these thoughts in a way that we could talk about those. It's been a blessing in my life. When I first heard this teaching almost 10 years ago, 8 or 10 years ago, when I first showed up here at Harvest, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you guys as well. Because, see, here's the deal. We live our lives in such a way that even way back, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, the very beginning of time, we find that humanity decided to believe a lie. And if you know the story of Eve and the fruit tree there that she chose to take a part of, what happened there is she was fed a lie by the evil one, just like we are still being fed lies by the evil one today. And she chose to basically mistrust the Lord and mistrust his promise for her and mistrust what he had said to be true. And so we see that this rift developed in between humankind and God, and that their lives were filled with mistrust, and this thing that has carried on from the beginning of time all the way up into today, we still struggle with these ideas of, we hear these lies that say God's not trustworthy, or he won't do what he said he would do, or he's not good enough, or he's holding out on you. And so there's this divide that we find in our lives that has to be restored. And so we read through the Old Testament, all the stories of the Old Testament, and we get all the way into the New Testament and read through those stories. And it's one big, long, continuous story of God re-engaging us as his children and asking us to trust again. And so that's why we're talking about faith, because faith is basically trust in God. And why big faith is important, because God has called us to do incredible things in this world. And if we can't trust that he is who he says he is, that he will do what he said he will do, that he is there supporting us along the way, then we get easily distracted by these lies that we get bombarded with every day. And so it's important for us to look at these ways of, how do we build our faith? How do we grow our faith? How do we increase our faith to the point that we aren't easily distracted, that we aren't easily picked off by our enemy, that we have what it takes to move forward in life and to accomplish the things that God's called us to accomplish? And so we're going to look at these five things that God uses to grow our faith. Last time I was with you, we talked about practical teaching. Practical teaching shows us where we are and where we need to go. It gets us into the Bible and into God's Word and equips us with the tools and the resources that are here in God's Word to restore our faith, to build our faith, to increase our faith so that we have some truth going on in what we know about God and who He is and what He's up to in the world, and we have something that we can stand firm on for our beliefs. Today we're going to be talking about providential relationships. Providential relationships allow us to hear from God through other people. And then in a couple of weeks, few weeks, we'll talk about private disciplines, tune our hearts to God's heart. Pivotal circumstances force us to look at God. The obstacles that we come across in our lives require us to stop and take an assessment on who we are, where we're at, and what God's up to. And then number five, personal ministry enables us to experience God's power. When we actually choose to get involved in the ministry, in doing what God's up to in the world, it allows us to experience His power. And so we're going to see how big faith enables us to stay connected with God, to engage with God, to receive from God the things that we need to do. And so when we look at our faith journeys, when we think back on your own faith journey, and I took a little bit of a journey back this morning while I was singing, but I want to ask you to go back with me there and think back in your life and some of the relationships that you've encountered. Because we see when we talk about coming to faith or journeys of faith or opportunities that guys had to take their relationship with the Lord to a new level. Right, to a new high, or they experience something fresh or something deeper with their connection. It's generally connected with a relationship, right? We say things like, you know, I met this guy at this thing, and man, from there we became friends, and he just really encouraged me to go deeper with the Lord. Or, you know, he started asking me actually about my life. Some real deep, hard questions about what was going on. Did I go to church? Was I a Christian? You know, where was I at with my relationship with God? Or maybe it was a professor in college that challenged you to go deeper, or had some something along the way that took you into your faith. You had a roommate along the way that challenged you to engage God in a different way. So I want to ask you to do a little activity with me this morning. It might be a little bit uncomfortable, but I don't think so. So I want you at your tables this morning to take just a minute and talk amongst yourselves. Think back, who was it in your life? Who was a person that was significant to you in your faith walk, your faith journey? Either helped you come to faith, or maybe if you're still questioning about faith and all of these things, who got you interested in showing up here today to listen to things about God? Does that make sense? Everybody with me? So take just a minute at your table, share a couple of stories. Who was a person that made a significant difference in your faith walk? All right? All right, I realize I took a risk here of totally losing you this morning, right? That you'd rather talk than listen, but you'll have an opportunity to finish telling your story here at the end of the talk. But I wanted to get us engaged a little bit, to talking a little bit about these people that make a significant difference in our life, because I think that we all have those stories as we look back in our journey of people that met us along the way, that intersected our lives and our relationships, that we encountered, who encouraged us, who challenged us, who shook us up a little bit and said, hey, pay attention to what's going on in your life, and pointed us back to God. And I believe that these providential relationships come from God, because He divinely intersects our lives. They seem like they're accidents. If you think back to these stories, you know, I just showed up at college and I met this person, or I went to this men's retreat and I met this guy that was in my room, and I don't know how he got there and I don't know how I got there, but we really made a connection with each other there that really took us to the next level of faith. We have all of these seemingly accidental or unplanned encounters with people along our way, and it feels like God just dropped these guys into our life, right? And I believe that He does in a lot of ways. He creates these divine encounters that help lead us and propel us on into our relationship of faith. Because you see, our faith doesn't really develop in isolation, right? There's not many of us that are just sitting on our couch in the living room and have an epiphany and a really cool experience with the Lord that takes us to the next level. Sometimes that might happen, but generally the things that challenge us to get out of the ruts that we're in are other men or other women that come into our life and intersect our relationships and cause us to change direction a little bit. It's almost like when two cars bump into each other. I was playing pool with my daughter last night. You know, those balls hit each other and it causes them to go different directions, right? And there's a way that engaging in these relationships that God puts in our life causes our life to take a different trajectory. And I believe this, that God uses human relationships to grow big faith in Him. I look back on my life and think about some of the stories and was reflecting on that. I had a youth minister when I was in high school. His name was Gregory Boy Camp. And if you had a name like Gregory Boy, it might cause some questions about what kind of man you are. But that was his name that his mom gave him, and he went by it. But that man challenged me to take my faith from something that was all about rules and regulations and doing the right things and take it into an actual relationship with the Lord. So a relationship rather than just a religion. I had a college professor's name was Stacy Patty, another real manly name, right? Two girl names together, Stacy Patty. I hadn't really thought about that until just now. But he helped me see that faith was based on grace rather than a system of doing right and wrong. He drew this picture on the board. I was real stuck in my rut in my belief system and that there was a sequential way that you came to faith. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you had to do these things in a line. You know, you had to hear the word and you had to believe the word and you had to confess and you had to repent and then you had to be baptized and these steps that went down the way. And if you messed one of those steps up, then you might not be saved. But that didn't match up with the stories I read in the book of Acts. And so he drew this picture on the board where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 were all on top of each other. And he said, these are all important components of coming to faith. But what if we looked at it a little bit differently? And so that challenged me then to my faith went in a different trajectory based on his simple little teaching and a drawing that he did on the board 25 years ago. When I moved overseas, there was a guy named Tim Talley that mentored me in the ways of being a missionary. I was a young 25-year-old kid that didn't know nothing about nothing, had no business being a missionary. But he took me under his wing, and he taught me the ways of the culture there and helped me understand the intricacies of the work that I had signed up for and has made a huge difference in my life. There was a lady in my journey that I met who was from England. She was a spirit-filled Anglican. I didn't even know such a thing existed because I thought Anglican was like real high church and liturgical and whatnot. But she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she started introducing me to the fact that the Holy Spirit still works today. And it started opening my heart to the realities that the Spirit's activity is still alive and well, even now. Along the way, I stumbled into a guy named Bill DeBose down in Abernathy, Texas. And Bill had a Bible study in his barn on Friday mornings, and me and a guy that I went to church with in Abernathy started going to that Bible study on Friday mornings. And lo and behold, there came a point in my life where I needed a different church home, and I talked to Bill about that, and Bill's the one that got me to Harvest. And coming here to Harvest has radically changed my life because of the hundreds of relationships that I have encountered since coming here. And so those little things along our way, those men along my way and women as well that have made a deposit, that have engaged me, have taken me down different roads that I never thought I would have taken. I wouldn't have chosen most of those relationships. And isn't that true when you look back on the people that made such an impact on your faith? You probably would have never picked those people, never would have chosen to engage those people, never would have sought out those people. And providentially, God put you together in the same room, at the same event, at the same point in life, or something like that where you encountered them, and it just so happened, right, that they were the perfect person to propel you on in your faith journey. And so in a positive way, that works too, but it's also possible that our journeys take a negative direction because of the relationships that we encounter, right? There's crossroads that we meet along the way. For some of us, when we went to college, you know, you made new friends that caused you to abandon your faith. You met this guy when you moved to a new city, and he had a different lifestyle that was full of all kinds of things that maybe you weren't exposed to, and you got attracted to that, and it sent you down a path of death and destruction and addictive behaviors. And so in the same way that positive relationships affect us in a positive way, those same kind of negative things can affect us on our faith. Our faith can actually be undermined because of the people that we choose to hang around with, as well as strengthens. And so the principle is this: relationships intersect our faith journey. People that we encounter have a significant effect on our faith and on our relationship with the Lord. These defining moments of our lives revolve around the relationships that we have, the friendships that we have, the people that we're around all of the time. And so whether they're good or bad, the reality is we're engaging with people all of the time. We have all of these encounters day after day after day. And God is utilizing those relationships to lead us into good places. He's using people to impact our faith. And we need to learn how to leverage these healthy relationships. Because the reality is, right, you go to work from here, not everybody at your workplace is a believer. Not everybody that you're interacting with all day long has the same goals and aspirations and directions as you do in your life, right? You're going to intersect with people as soon as you walk outside this door this morning with men who have a different agenda in life than you do. And you're going to encounter those relationships, and you're going to be forced to engage with customers today at your business place, or people at the schoolhouse, or wherever you are in your place of work, that have a potential to damage your relationship, that have a potential to lead you astray from the direction that you really want to go as you develop your faith. And so these people can serve as temptations, or people that would derail you from obtaining the things that you want to obtain. And as a Christian, as a believer, we're called to interact with people that are different from us. We're not called to sequester ourselves inside this church building, right, and just hang out with people that are just like us. There's monks that do that somewhere, but this is not a monastery, right? None of you guys signed up to be a monk today, right? None of us are wearing robes. None of us are, you know, very few people, guys are choosing to be celibate their whole life, right? I didn't sign up for that one. I got married, right? So the reality is that we're encountering all kinds of people all of the time, and we can't help those relationships or those encounters. And so we've got to take a hold of this reality that we're in these relationships, and we've got to learn what to do with them. Because the reality is that when we get out in the world, that we're rarely tempted to be good, to be honest, to be kind, to bear the fruit of the Spirit like we were talking about a few weeks ago in our sermon series. You know, we're rarely tempted to give money and surely not extravagantly, right? We don't find ourselves just in these places of, I really, really, really wanted to do something good, but I just couldn't help myself. We find that the relationships that we encounter in our life really have a significant effect on us. Proverbs 13:20 says this: walk with the wise and you'll become wise. You hang out with wise guys, whether they're actually wise or they're wise guys. What is the word? I can't think of the word. Anyway, guys that would lead you astray. You guys get it, right? Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Or 1 Corinthians 15:33 says it this way: don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And so we tell our kids that all the time, right? We tell them that, hanging around kids that are into drugs or into this or that, you know, it's going to rub off on you, and you're going to go down a path you don't want to go down. But I'm here to tell you, you know, it's good for us at our age as well as it is for young people. Bad company has corrupted a lot of marriages in life, right? Bad company has pulled a lot of guys back into the destructive cycle of alcoholism or addiction. Bad company, you know, is what got you invited to an environment that actually started a habit in the first place in your life. Bad company planted a thought in your mind that grew into a behavior over time. And so if we surround ourselves all of the time by these relationships that challenge and affront our faith without having relationships on the other side that are affirming our faith, we see that our path goes in ways that we don't want it to go. And so what do we do about that? Because we can't avoid those kind of relationships. So in light of that, we've got to be intentional about establishing and pursuing relationships that God has providentially brought our way, those relationships that strengthen and preserve our faith. And it takes intentionality to make these relationships happen. It takes intentionality for you to wake up on Tuesday morning early enough to get yourself right here to Brave Hearts to surround yourself with a bunch of guys that are pursuing God like you're pursuing God, right? Amen. You don't just end up here early in the morning, right? I had to force myself to get out of bed this morning and get up early and be here and make a decision to be in this place. And so we see that this is what I want to say. The first thing that you need to do with this is put yourself in environments that challenge you to take the next step in faith, where people of faith are. If you don't choose to put yourself in those places, the likelihood of you having those divine intersections is a lot less likely, right? And we can't make providential relationships happen. I can't just decide I'm going to have this incredible encounter with a person and I'm going to go bang into them and my life is going to change. Because when you look back on the providential relationships that you've had, the encounters that you had with men or women along the way that challenge you to grow in faith, you didn't plan that. Right? You didn't make it happen. It caught you by surprise. It was unexpected how God intersected your lives. You weren't necessarily making that happen, but we can put ourselves in a place where those relationships are a lot more likely to form. Does that make sense? If I don't sit around this table with these guys and have a conversation after Bravehearts, I'm certainly not going to get the wisdom that comes from their lips, right? Now, I can't make something awesome happen at this table. I can simply be available and say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to have conversations and I'm going to choose to engage other men of faith that would lead me, hopefully, to a place of experiencing God in a new way. But if I don't choose to sit at the table, if I don't choose to participate, I'm sure not going to have those encounters as often. And so we work hard here at church. And I hope you guys see this. We work hard at church to help get you out of these rows of chairs and into circles of people where we can have conversation. Because it's not enough to show up on a Sunday morning and sit in a pew and sing a song and hear a sermon and go back home. God has designed us to be in relationship with each other. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other. You know, when we engage each other, right? Those conversations that we have encourage us to grow, encourage us to take the next step. And so there's all kinds of opportunities at church for you to get in circles. There's a group of guys that bust their rear end to set up these tables for you every single week. Because it's a lot of work to take down the rows of chairs and physically put up these circles of chairs. But we do it intentionally because we want you to have an opportunity to engage in relationships around this circle with men who are like-minded with you. We do it on Wednesday nights. We have circles in living rooms all over Plainview and in different towns around the area because we want you to have an opportunity to take what you hear, to take what you're walking in your life, and to intersect into relationships with people that are trying to do the same thing that you're doing. But if you choose not to show up to those places, you're not going to reap the benefits of those providential relationships that God wants you to have. You know, when we do membership class, one of the things I love, new people that come to Harvest, we ask them a question, you know, how did you get here? How did you show up? And almost all the time, without fail, it was because of a relationship that that person had with somebody else. Almost without fail, we'll go around the room and let people tell their story. And they say, you know, I met this guy and he invited me to church. Or I was hanging around, you know, went to an event and I met somebody. And man, we just had an attraction and like a kindred friendship. And we just decided this is where we needed to be. There's relationships, guys, are what one of the key factors that God uses to build our faith, to get us into places that we can grow. And dads in here, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you a little bit here. Get your kids into Kid City and Catalyst Youth. You as the father can help orchestrate those providential relationships that your kids need to encourage them and challenge them on their walk of faith. As a father, you have a responsibility to help guide them and point them in the right directions and get them to the places that they need to be where they can encounter people of faith. Because goodness knows, at the high school or at wherever they go, they're encountering all kinds of relationships that are taking them down different paths, right? They're encountering, friends that are on a different track. They're encountering all kinds of stuff. And if you're not being the dad and being the father that is providing them and getting them to places that will sow good things into them and cause them to bump into other people of faith that would challenge them to go down the path that you see that they need to take, man, they're missing an incredible opportunity. And I'm so glad that I came from a background where I was made to go to church. I was made to show up at places, and I didn't always want to go to youth group. I was an introverted, shy kid. I didn't like engaging in those relationships, but it was good for me. It was good for me to go and be in a place where I encountered adults who challenged my faith, who called me out to something greater with my life, who gave me a vision for something more than what I could see in my little 15-year-old mind, right? And you as a father, that's your responsibility to help ensure that your kids have these providential relationships, these encounters, these opportunities to meet people and to be in environments where God can challenge and grow their faith. And so we put ourselves in places where we'll be exposed to the right people, and then take it one more step from that, guys. You've got to engage the relationship. Because the reality is, you're going to experience some good things around the table here in just a minute when I shut up and you can talk to each other, right? But I want to encourage you to take it to the next step. Call one of these guys later on in the week. This relationship does not stop around this table. It's not a once a week thing. You have an opportunity to make some good friends here who can engage you all week long. I know a couple of tables in here that have that kind of relationship where they're texting each other all week, you know, encouraging each other, challenging each other. You have that opportunity to do that. And it's bigger than just showing up to church and church programs. It really is about building relationships that lead you to the next step in your faith. And then the second thing I want to challenge you with this morning is this. Be the one that God uses to intersect the lives of others. We think back to these providential relationships and we realize, man, a lot of these engagements that we had with someone started from an awkward conversation. What do I mean? Somebody asked you a question that challenged you a little bit, right? That called you out on something that, it was a little bit uncomfortable. And so some of us need to be the one that God uses to intersect the lives of others, to take some risks, to take an opportunity to care enough about other people that we would engage them where they're at. We would see the mess of a life that they're living in and be willing to kind of dive in there a little bit and intersect that life and go, hey, dude, there's a different way of living. Would you? I have something I'd like to share here, an opportunity. But most of us say, man, it's not any of my business. I don't want to go have that conversation. That's their life. They can do that. And I'm guilty of this as much as anybody. Man, they picked that life. That's what they want. That's their responsibility. They can do it however they want. But what if God would call you to make an intersection to step out and to engage someone, to ask a question, to have some courage to do something. I want to read you a little story I came across the other day to finish up this morning. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with a guy named Penn Jillette, but he's part of a comedy illusion duo in Las Vegas, Penn and Teller. You might have heard that. And he's an outspoken atheist. And he had a blog entry or did a video interview here recently. And I just want to read this because it was challenging to me, and I think it'll be challenging to you. At the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was this guy waiting over on the side, and he walked over to me and he said, "Hey, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show, and I liked the show." And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about honesty and stuff. And he said nice stuff to me. And then he said, "I brought this for you." And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but also Psalms. It's from the New Testament, right? It's a little book. And he said, "I wrote in the front of this, and I wanted you to have this." He said, "I'm kind of proselytizing you." And then he said, "I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy." And he looked me right in the eye, and he did all of this. And it was really wonderful. And I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he wasn't defensive, and he looked right in my eyes, and he was truly complimentary. It didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane, and he looked me in the eyes, and he talked to me, and then he gave me this Bible. And I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there is a heaven and hell and that people could be going to hell and not getting eternal life or whatever you think, well, it's not really worth telling them because it would be socially awkward. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, but that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I would tackle you. And this is more important than that, and I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which he had written a little note in it to me, just like, "Liked your show," and so on, and then like five numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's real important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have a deep agreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff. But man, that was a really good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say. Isn't that an interesting quote? That man took a challenge to engage somebody that would be totally socially awkward, to have a conversation, to take a risk, to believe enough in the good stuff that he had in his life to take a risk on it. I don't know if this guy will ever change his belief or if he'll come to faith, but I guarantee you that God will use that as a seed in his life that he will always look back on and go, "This guy engaged me, this guy engaged me," and someday that seed's going to bear some fruit. And so I want to challenge you guys today to step out and take a risk, to care enough about people that God would use you to interject into someone's life and become that providential relationship, that providential encounter that grows big faith in other men. You know, as I tell my daughter, your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. That was true when you're 14. It's true at our age, whatever age that you're at this morning. So leverage those relationships that you have. Be intentional about putting yourself into relationships and letting God create some incredible dynamic encounters with other men. God, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for these men who love you, who are called according to your purposes. God, as we as we engage in conversation right now, God, I pray that you would remind us of the people that chose to encounter us, the ways that you've used relationships and friendships in our life to lead us to a better place and on a different track. And I pray, God, that today men would find some providential relationships right here in this very room, right around the tables that they're sitting at, that would lead them into places of holiness, would lead them into places of significant experiences with you, that would build their faith into incredible places and be incredible men who make a difference in our world. Thank you for allowing us to spend this time together and utilizing our experiences and our faith and our conversations today to spur one another on to love and good deeds, as your word says. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.